Servant Leadership Podcast, brought to you by the Servant Leadership Institute in Carlsbad, California. Our conversation today is with Sarah and David Suter, a married couple and both leaders who are passionate about serving. You'll learn that Sarah and David have brought servant leadership into their respective workplaces in some very creative ways. In addition, servant leadership has become a foundation for their family life. We know you'll be touched by this engaging couple who have made service their way of life. Well, welcome everybody to the Servant Leadership Podcast. We're delighted this morning to have David and Sarah Suter with us to talk about their introduction into servant leadership, both in light of their businesses and also their life at home and how it's impacted their life at home. So David and Sarah, it's great to have you with us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know you came all the way from East San Diego County, so we're thrilled that you made that trek this morning in order to see us. And to get us started, would you just let our audience know what you do and how you were first exposed to servant leadership?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm a director of administrative services at the Grossmont Cuyamaca Community College District. Our primary function that I oversee is the foundation, which is fundraising and grants for our district. Mm-hmm. We do about $24 million worth of grants now.
Wow.
And we've grown over the past few years from a $5 million business to a $24 million business. So that brings lots of new challenges and new staff.
Oh, I can imagine. My goodness.
So servant leadership has become a big part of trying to manage it all with intensive growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an exciting time, but it's an overwhelming time. And I've been there now for 13 years at this district and in this role now for a little over 4 years.
Great.
Yeah.
And David?
And my company is CBSI, and we've been in business in San Diego for the last 30 years.
Wow.
It was a company my father started back in 1986.
Uh-huh.
And I joined him in 1998, and we've been business partners for since 2004. We are a construction project management company. We go into big organizations and help them run their facilities projects. And we have an office in Point Loma, an office in East County, La Mesa. And we have 13 people that work for us. And my whole thing with servant leadership, about 4 years ago, it was a real challenge for me to figure out a way to change the culture of the business.
Mm.
And I knew that I needed training on some sort of leadership, so I started reading books, as many books as I could get my hands on. Ken Blanchard and John Maxwell, Christine Kane, Francis Chan, just anything that had to do with leadership, community, teamwork, and really started to understand. You know, I knew that I was moving in a direction of wanting to do servant leadership, but I didn't know what servant leadership was, and so. Starting to learn that over the last 4 or 5 years has been real interesting, and just kind of the aha moment of, oh, this is what I've been missing.
Yeah. You know, what I find really interesting is you guys have this perspective that goes from the range of a small company, 13 employees, but extremely established.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you're dealing with a culture that has been there for a very, very long time. Small number of people. Span the bridge to Sarah, who working in a community college system, which is many, many more people, and a whole lot more, I would think, potentially bureaucracy.
Absolutely.
To deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys run the gamut here.
We do.
I mean, we could just spend the whole time talking about business from that perspective. That's really, really interesting. So servant leadership, when you began really trying to incorporate it, what was your leadership like before you became exposed to it, and then how do you see it's changed your leadership style?
That's a great question. I know for me, when I started this new position about 4 years ago, I always had kind of the ability to work with people of all different levels of the mm-hmm. community college district, and before that at Children's Hospital in San Diego, and I had this natural inkling to care about people, and my office became the hub, from presidents all the way down to custodians.
Wow.
And I just was the spot where people would land when they just wanted to kind of talk through something. And I think there was this natural instinct to serve others and have compassion and inspire them to make a decision, whichever direction they needed to go. And so moving into this role, I knew I wanted to bring those characteristics in, mm-hmm. but like you said, with the community college district, it really is a top-down. It is not necessarily a servant-led organization.
Right.
We serve our students, but as administrators, we don't always serve one another
right.
in the ways that we could.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think David and I started going to Catalyst conferences with our church as we kept getting put into leadership roles there.
Mm-hmm.
And that inspired us to keep going in and looking for more. And so the Servant Leadership Institute came to San Diego, and in 2014 we attended. And I think for me that was that light bulb moment of having a definition and a term of the type of leader I was becoming, but didn't really know what to call it.
Yeah.
And so it just became this deep dive into I want to know more. I want to define myself better so I can lead better.
Yeah, you sound to me very much like the way I felt when I was exposed to servant leadership. It allowed me to be the same person that I was 7/24. So I didn't have to come to work and be somebody that I wasn't.
Right.
And when you talk about everybody, you know, ending up in your office, I can really relate to that. And it's very interesting that sense of, you know, I don't know what you'd call it, empowerment or just peace of mind mm-hmm. in saying, oh, this is a philosophy,
mm-hmm.
a movement. There's
right.
a name to it, and I can claim that.
Right.
As far as the way you're trying to lead, anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Makes life a lot more comfortable, actually, to be able to say that.
It does, and I think inherently it's a part of my DNA,
mm-hmm.
and leadership is just one of my strengths. And so to have that perspective of I can bring it from every angle of my life, of my faith and my family and my work.
Yeah.
It's the balance that I think so many people are seeking. And to be such a young leader and to find it now, I mm-hmm. feel like is so valuable for both of us to know that we have many, many more years of working
yeah.
and leading our family.
Yeah.
And to get this type of knowledge now mm. is just going to surpass anything that we ever could have done on our own.
Yeah, that's great. How about you, David?
Yeah, it was a little different for me. I mean, having worked with my dad for so long and him being the example, my philosophy on leadership was, watch me, I will do a good job. If you follow me, you will learn how I'm doing things as I was taught, and you'll do good too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, work harder than the next person, put more into it than the next person, and, you know, go out of your way for everybody. But what I lacked in was the engagement to the staff, you know, to turn around and see how they are doing, not just, oh, are they still behind me following me, or, you know. So, again, these last 4 years, reading a lot of these books, you know, Good to Great with Jim Collins, and really understanding how to engage with the people. And so when we moved into our office in La Mesa a little over 3 years ago, it was the first time in company history, really, that we had a conference room. Because in the past, most of our staff are at a client's office.
Right.
So I was at Grossmont Cuyamaca College for over 10 years. That was my office.
Mm.
And so what this did was, when we got that office space, I said, you know what? We're going to start using this conference room for staff meetings. There had been staff that would see each other at the Christmas party, but one would be with one client, and that's their full-time job, and the others would be with a different client, and they wouldn't cross paths. And I'm like, we have to bridge this gap.
Mm.
And so reading the books and going to Catalyst Conference and going to the Servant Leadership Conference really, you know, I started thinking, you know, here's an opportunity. And so I started coming up, we started meeting on a weekly basis, and that was real interesting because my father, the first thing he said was, you know, how many billable hours is this going to cost us to have everybody in one room at once? And it was a battle. It was a hard battle to fight to show him that, you know, this is going to be good for everybody. And it certainly paid off, and it paid off pretty quick, and he started to realize that. But one of the things I brought to the table was I created Staff Insights, and that was me taking something from a conference and doing a write-up on it and putting it in a Word document or a PowerPoint and putting it on the screen and just going through it and engaging the people to start talking about a certain topic on leadership, teamwork, dealing with difficult people, anything of that sort. And so I did that for a few months, and I said, you know, now it's time to step it up a notch. I'm going to have my staff do the same thing. Someone bring something to the table. And so we went around the room.
Ooh, you're a brave guy.
Well, there was the few that said, oh, hey, I'll do it. And there was a few towards the end that said, oh, I guess I have to do it, but really enjoyed it. So, and it didn't have to necessarily be leadership teamwork, just something that engaged them that they could share with the group. Mm-hmm. And so every week we would do that. And it was great just to hear everyone's input around the table, to really be involved and engage with each other. And so once we made it around through everybody, I started, you know, trying to take it to the next level and really turn it into a learning moment. And, you know, it's been interesting since then. We've kind of stepped back a little bit, and we do our staff meetings every other week. Again, difficult because everybody is spread out around San Diego County.
Right.
But everyone looks forward to it, and what we get out of it is just great, just the team building in general. And it also turned into cross-training, where if someone's taking a vacation, the other people in the company that might not necessarily know a lot about the client but knows what the person's working on, so we can step in for each other. And it's just, it's turned, you know, into so many different levels of engagement between staff.
Right. So it's got that aspect of, as you say, the cross-training aspect, which is excellent, but also almost like a small group.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In that they can bring their challenges to the table.
That's right.
And get input from one another. Mm-hmm. Now, how did Dad feel about this?
It was a success.
Yeah.
Again, you know, there's half of us that are in the La Mesa office, and he works out of the Point Loma office, which is his house where he started the business.
Sure.
And so him and his core team, about four people, have one very large client here in San Diego that they've been serving for the last 18 years. And so it was difficult for him to get out of the mindset of work and go to the other office and sit around for an hour. And that was the thing. I'm very efficient with my meetings. You know, if I'm saying it's going to be an hour, it's going to be an hour. And I keep that agenda to that. So I said, an hour of time, you got a half hour of travel each direction. And again, it took a little while for him to buy into it, but he really started seeing the payoff of just the camaraderie of people getting to know each other. I mean, we turned what was a business into a family, and we call each other family now. It's part of the, you're part of the CBSI family, and it's great.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. What a great success process.
Absolutely.
That's really neat. So, obviously, both of you face challenges in your working life. What do you think are the biggest challenges you've encountered in trying to lead serving others first?
That's such a good question, because you just start thinking about everything you do at work and trying to just narrow it down to one or the other, or one story or the other. You know, I think for my work at a community college district, where you have such a top-down, you know, culture of leaders and decisions made at the top, and you flow it down, to be able to flip that pyramid over like Art talks about, is challenging. But what I say to my staff, and when we had Art come out for our staff retreat, it's, you can serve where you are. You don't have to be at the top to make change or to be a leader, and all of you are leaders exactly where you are. And we just had the conversation in a staff meeting I had the other day where they said, what if my current boss is not a servant leader? But I'm inspired by this topic. And it was the same response of, you are a leader. You are influencing everybody around you by the way you treat them, the trust, the relationship, how you encourage them, how you delegate tasks to them, and let them succeed. And if they fail, how you let that be okay. It's not out of fear or intimidation that they're worried that they're going to get fired. It's, this is your coaching moment now. And so I think as a servant leader, it's my job to teach other people about it. And it didn't have to be a title. My staff never heard about servant leadership until recently. But after Art came out and spoke to us and presented Farmer Abel and kind of his story, one of my staff looked at me and said, "Now I know why you are the way you are." And I thought, well, that's a good testimony, because it doesn't need to be about a title or Sarah's this or Sarah's that. It's that I want it to be about a culture where trust and respect and integrity are first. And at a community college district, it's challenging because it's thousands of people all the time. And, and I have over 150 employees. So how do I create that culture when they're all over campus and they're on different areas around the county? And so you just keep working through the people that you have, you know, every day around you. And then they keep passing it through to the next person that they engage with. And something fun that we do now in our office is we find somebody on campus that we want to inspire and motivate. And so as an office, we encourage them and we kind of pick a new person every month and just really pour into them. And you watch that relationship building of just saying good morning and we're excited to be a part of your team and taking them a little goodie by surprise. And it's really changed the culture of how we work together.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And that was really a mouthful that you just said about, you know, I think a lot of times as employees, we get so focused on the task and we see service as it has to be some big thing that we do, right? Otherwise, we don't pay any attention to it. When in fact, if we can look at the small little acts, as you said, saying good morning, bringing a goodie in an unexpected way. I mean, these are things that break down the walls between people.
Absolutely. And through departments.
Right.
We pick people intentionally that others find really challenging. And they don't know how to deal with that department that might be the top department at a district. And you have to work with them. So rather than just putting your wall up, it's let me find a way, a positive way to engage in a conversation that's not necessarily about the problem and start building a relationship. So then when the problem comes back to fruition, we can dialogue and the walls are down.
Because you have a relationship.
Because we have a relationship. So it's really been about relationship building for me and for my team. And that has helped us through the challenges of extreme growth. Really fast, and needing people to help us along the way and building the relationships so we can get there.
The other thing I want to emphasize and mention to our audience is this idea that you mentioned about my leader isn't a servant leader, so what can I do? Well, I hear this comment over and over and over again from people, and so I really want to emphasize, you know, listen to what Sarah said, that you can start anywhere from any place, and it doesn't matter. You know, if your leader isn't a servant leader, that doesn't mean that you can have to be victimized by that.
Right.
That you can change the way you behave and the way you treat other people. And I am very confident that if you do that, your leader will notice, because your results will be better, and you just might change somebody's mind about the way they're leading. So just keep that in mind. How about you, David? Challenges?
Challenges, I would say part of it is I was so used to, I'm a project manager. I manage construction projects, facilities projects.
Yeah.
That's how my mind works, you know, getting the big picture of things, laying things out, and then executing, making sure they happen.
Check the boxes after you plan it.
And again, the engagement of the staff. And me going from a daily mindset of, these are the projects that I have, these are how I need to manage them, to stop and spend more time actually working on the business instead of in the business, and let the project managers manage. Let me manage them in a different way.
Right.
And, you know, spending the time and saying, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? And, you know, the first times I was doing that to the staff, they're like, what do you mean? I work for you.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I work for you. And it's like, no, but what can I do to make your life better? And some people are like, no, I'm good. But others would, hey, it would be really helpful if I had this, this, and this at my disposal, or we had these tools or this type of communication. And it's really changed my mindset. But that was a challenge for me to, again, to stop and engage the staff instead of just follow me. This is the way we go. This is how we do things. So it's taken a while, but I really see the payoff. And again, talking about these staff insights that we would do, and several of them have been on overall leadership. I mean, we've gone through so many John Maxwell, either YouTube videos, just talking about leadership, leadership, leadership. And I'm thinking, you know, these are for maybe company leaders and not necessarily the staff. But the way I turned it on them was, again, they are leaders as project managers. They are the ones that are sitting in with the client and serving the client, and they have to lead maybe a team, or they're definitely leading a project. So to use the same terms of leading a company to lead a project, the way you treat people, again, how can I help you? What can I do to make it better for you, instead of going into a client and, well, not even the client, but maybe the contractors or the designers, instead of, you know, forcing them to produce, but coming alongside them and, hey, how can we make this better? How can we make this process better? So it's a complete different way of looking at things, and it's really helped the staff, again, coming together as a family, but bringing that out to the clients too. And the clients have definitely noticed. It's real interesting to get the feedback of, wow, you know, Greg went out of his way to make sure that this happened, and I wasn't expecting that. I've never seen that before. Or Ron, the guy will do anything. You know, he'll go out of the way to go to someone's house if someone's out home sick, but they need something signed. He went to their house. I had never done that before, but he did that, and the client loved it. And so just things like that, the people outside of the box, and what can I do to serve the other person?
Yeah. So overall, what I'm hearing both of you say actually is this idea of changing our mindset so that we add value.
Absolutely. So,
and we approach everything in our lives, really, to how can I add value to this situation, whatever it may be, and make it a win-win rather than I win and you can do something else. Right. You know, so that's really great. So that being said, that's the business side of your life. But these two wonderful people also have a family together that they are raising in here in beautiful San Diego. Can you talk a little bit about how you think servant leadership has affected your home life, your relationship, the kids, that personal side?
Yeah, I think this is the most exciting part for us. I think David and I realize we're unique in the sense that most people don't have the same mindset when they're running businesses, and then to bring that into our family, to have the same faith and the same servant leadership heart. And for us, we just talked about on the drive up here that it really is a heart alignment. And so we serve in our church, we serve with our children, and it's the same of inspiring and equipping your employees as it is with inspiring and equipping your spouse and your children. And so we really bring that together. We have three boys, 13, 10, and 9. And so they inspire us every day.
You demonstrate courage every day.
And to have courage. But, you know, they're watching us, and they're watching us go through challenges and talk about work. And now they're at a phase where they're going through their own challenges, and they're facing their own giants. And how we talk about servant leadership, how we talk about faith and God's role in going through those challenges has been a real turning point, I think, for them and for us. Our oldest has been going through a season of injuries through baseball and football, and he was out after the first game for 6 weeks, and so we just talked to him about, you know, this is an opportunity for you to still be a leader on your team, and you're not going to be the star, but you're going to, you know, be the water boy and encourage your team and support your team, but that God's still got a plan for you in this. And he had a great victory this last weekend at the final game of the season when he got to catch the ball that was part of the winning game, the winning touchdown. Yeah. And I think we use those moments now to talk about it, and he's got Philippians 4:13 that David prays over our family of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we bring that same excitement and joy to the kids because they're our legacy and they're our purpose right now. And while we run these businesses, at the end of the day, it's the kids, and that's where we invest most of our time.
And we've been involved with an event called Toys for Joy, which is something that the Rock Church has done, and this is actually the 20th year. And Sarah and I have been leaders in this event for the last 7 years. Up until 3 years ago, it was at one location, Lincoln High School, and Sarah and I helped run the toy room every year, and you're giving out 14,000 toys, and it's just an amazing experience. And every year, because we're also involved in the toy collection on Sundays, and counting and transportation, that's my role, transportation for all four sites now, but bringing the boys to on a Sunday afternoon to help count toys and, you know, explain what this is for. And so they've done this for the last 7 years, and the last 2 years, 3 years ago, they split it out to four locations, and now Sarah and I are two of the main leaders at the East County campus. And last year, we had the 13-year-old and the 10-year-old follow me all day long, because Sarah's still running the toy room, and I'm kind of overall event leadership, just making decisions and making sure things are flowing. And you give a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old an all-access pass and responsibilities, and their day is just made. And just seeing the changes of what these families are experiencing coming into the toy room and, you know, getting a toy, and, you know, you see little kids scanning, and there's the Lego Millennium Falcon, which a six-year-old kid would never be able to get.
Right.
And, you know, he's grasping onto it, and, you know, just those moments, and seeing the kids, the look on their faces to experience this, it's just great. And again, setting up the toy room the night before with all the toys and the boys running around having a good old time, but being involved in it and just seeing how we're leading. And, you know, the day of the event where Sarah's praying for the entire toy team in the auditorium, where you have the church pastors and you have, you know, the chief of police and possibly the mayor, and just being part of that, and the kids seeing this, that it's not a spotlight for us. It's just what we're doing. You know, we're put in these positions, and, you know, we're humble about it, that this is how you serve. This is what you do. You go out of your way, and in doing that, you are put in these leadership positions. It's not something that we sought out. It's just the way God has led us. And, you know, we started when we were dating, there was one scripture that was God was speaking to both of us, and that was Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And all things submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And we just follow that, and God has just led amazing places, because, you know, you say 6 months ago, a year ago, hey, you guys are going to do a podcast? Not even a thought in our minds. So this is exciting for us. You know, this is a great experience, and we hope more than anything else that this is an inspiration to others.
Yeah, well, that's really what it's all about. You know, as I listen to you, be encouraged, you guys, when it's tough going with the boys, because Art loves to tell this. When he tells his story, his heart for service really began as a young boy himself, with his dad. And his dad just served everybody. So he spent his Saturdays, you know, doing rotary things with his dad, or just different kind of service projects. Somebody needed a garage built, boom, his dad was there. And now, you know, fast forward X number of years, and he has affected, you know, the lives of thousands of people around the world, really, if we look at what he's accomplished through his companies. And so, you know, who knows who you've got percolating there, right? Who looks and sees this model of service in his parents and knows that that's something that he can do and be successful at, serving others.
And the
importance of that.
I would have to say a big part of my journey was actually through the men's group at the Rock Church. Because coming out of a divorce and being in a really low place, it was that group of men, Ronnie, Rick Holderby, that are a very huge part of the men's ministry that I got involved in. And they really taught me how to be a better man, how to be a man of God, and to be a servant. Because the men's ministry, oh, you need something cooked for an event? Call the men's ministry. Or you need something built? Call the men's ministry.
Yeah.
So coming alongside them and just seeing how those two men lead their lives and just following that was a huge part of my story. And going through what they call the Ironman Discipleship Program, which is a year-long program, really, it changed my life. Changed my life. It made me ready to be a good husband. And it wasn't until getting through all that that I was able to come to Sarah and say, I'm ready. You know, will you be my wife? And if I hadn't gone through that, I'd probably still be spinning out of control. So just an awesome thing.
Yeah. So obviously, you guys, your faith is very important to you.
Right.
Faith and servant leadership certainly complement one another. But do you feel that people can still be servant leaders if they do not have a faith?
Absolutely. I feel like it's a heart alignment, that you have to have your heart right to serve others. And no matter what faith you are, if your heart is aligned with serving others, you can take your organization to a totally different level. And maybe it's not a financial level of growth. Maybe it is an investment in people that stay with you. Like in David's business, he changed the culture from I come to work and I leave, to a place where they now are bonding, their family. They changed the language of employee to family, and clients who used to just only want David to come to their offices now just see the organization and all the talented people in it because he stepped back to let them rise up. And so I think that's part of that alignment is getting, for me, it's getting your heart right to be able to serve others. In whatever capacity you are in your faith or and in your walk, you can serve no matter where you are if your heart is in alignment.
Yeah, and I'd say that, you know, the biggest stumbling block for most people is their head, because they're thinking about, what about me? How do I make how do I get ahead? What do I need to do better? And to take away your head and start leading with your heart completely will change your life. It doesn't matter what your faith is. We just happen to have faith in God, and I'm glad we do. I mean, it has amazing changes in our life. But again, just taking away all about me and start thinking about your heart and loving people and wanting to serve people, it will completely change you and the people around you. And men, if you are leading a family, you are the one that's going to change your family's destiny. And you know, it's really on your shoulders, and you can do it. I think the statistics are, if a man comes to Christ or changes his way and starts leading with his heart, 93% of the family will follow. If it's the mom that does this, only 18%. So it's really on the man's shoulders to lead the family and show them the way. And again, faith or no faith, use your heart. Let your heart lead to the things that you know need to be done, even if you have to humble yourself, and most likely you do. And that's the best part once you get past it. And living a humble life and leading by your heart will change your life.
Well, I can't think of any more beautiful of a way to close out our program today. I just appreciate both of you so much. And when I see you, I think to myself, you know, this is a crazy world around us, but we have the power to change it through our own individual integrity and this philosophy that we all believe in so much of serving others first and leading with our hearts. So thank you so much for coming today. And thank you to our audience. Tune in next time for our Servant Leadership Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we encourage you to connect with us. Go to our website to learn more about our training services and our events. You'll find us at www.servantleadershipinstitute.com. We invite you to join us for the Music of Servant Leadership, our Servant Leadership Conference for 2017 on March 13th and 14th. Our location this year will be the beautiful Marriott Marquis San Diego Marina. Registration is now open and early bird pricing is in effect.
To register and get more information about the event or the Servant Leadership Institute, see our website or email us at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com. Thanks for listening and allowing us to add value to your day.